The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances, but not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Welcome once again, everybody. Question for you here this evening. How old was Jesus when he died on the cross? 33. See, a lot of you already know the answer. 33 years old when he dies on the cross. Question for you here this evening. How do you know he was 33 when he dies on the cross? You want to know how we know? Two reasons. Two ways we know. First is the Gospel of Luke. Luke tells us Jesus began his public ministry at the age of 30, okay? And no surprise, because that's the age every rabbi began teaching, age of 30. Second way we know is the Gospel of John that tells us that Jesus' public life lasted for 3 years, okay? So, Jesus Christ, Son of God, come down to earth. He lives 33 years in this world of ours. And we only know about three of them. So here's the real question for you this evening. What was he doing for all those other years, right? Am I the only one who wonders questions like this? Sometimes I wonder. Now, maybe that's why I became a priest. But don't you wonder, what did he do? I mean, are there any stories about what he was like when he was growing up and the things that he said? Or are there any lessons that we might have to learn from God on this? You know what? Tonight's feast day teaches us the only lesson that we need to know. That Jesus spent 30 of his 33 years here in this world doing the most seemingly ordinary things. Living by all external appearances in an ordinary family and in an ordinary home. 3 years he's out doing miracles, preaching, and wowing the crowds. 3 hours he spends dying on the cross. 30 years he spends at home and with a family. Do you think that has anything at all to teach us about how important and precious it is in the heart of God is the home and in the family? Okay, so today we celebrate the feast of the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in Nazareth. You know, this is a feast day that a lot of people find very discouraging. Very discouraging. Because they look around the state of the family and they bemoan the state of the family in the world today. Or they look under their own roof and they bemoan the state of their own family in the world today. And then they hear about Jesus, Mary, and Joseph and they think, you know, who on earth can possibly live up to that kind of a standard, right? What can we possibly have to learn? What can we possibly have to imitate? That's why I want to focus on just one word here this evening, brothers and sisters. And that word is holy. Holy. What does the word holy mean? You find lots of advice there about families. Self-help section of any bookstore. About how to be balanced and how to be integrated and how to be properly adjusted. All fine and good. But holy is something deeper. This is not the feast day of the balanced family or the psychologically integrated family or the happy, well-adjusted family. Here's the feast of the holy family. We're going to understand that word by taking a look at Jesus and Mary and Joseph and what holy means for them. We're going to start with the easiest one of the bunch, Saint Joseph. Now, Joseph, he doesn't say a word in the whole New Testament, not one single word. But you can learn about St. Joseph, you know, in the context of the stories that they tell you in the Bible. And you can tell Joseph had his plans for his life and how he wanted things to unfold. And he was going to be betrothed to Mary, and she was going to be his spouse, and he was going to have his carpenter shop. But what makes Joseph holy is that he drops all of that the moment he learns that it's God's will. You want to know what holy means? Your will and God's will in perfect parallel. You know the stories about St. Joseph. He finds out, heaven knows who, down through the grapevine, that Mary is with child. And he only knows one thing about this child. He knows it's not his. Heartbroken, words can't describe what must have been going through Joseph's mind. He decides just to put her away quietly. When the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream, it says, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. It's by the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. And what must people have thought of that? What might people have said about that? Joseph didn't care. Joseph didn't care what anybody said. Joseph didn't care what anybody thought. Joseph cared about what God thought. That's what holy means. And then, of course, the child is born, and you know the story. The only authority in the land is out to kill the newborn baby Jesus. And the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and says, Joseph, arise, take the child and his mother, and flee to the land of Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Probably a lot of people would have told Joseph, that's really lousy advice, Joseph, right? Newborn kid, mother of a newborn kid, you're going to jostle him into a foreign land you've never even been to before. And where are you going to stay, Joseph? And how exactly are you going to make a living for yourself out there? Joseph didn't care. Joseph didn't care what, and he knew what advice to ignore. And he knew what advice to heed. He cared about one thing, listening to the voice of the Heavenly Father. His will and the Heavenly Father's will in perfect parallel. That's the meaning of the word holy. A little bit more mysterious is the Blessed Virgin Mary. More mysterious because she, you know, immaculately conceived. She's the only person in all of history who was born a saint. Okay? But even she couldn't have known all the things that God had planned for her. God's full of surprises. She probably had her little idea of what she thought her life was going to be. When you know the story, the angel of the Lord appears and says, hail, full of grace. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. And what does she say? Doesn't hesitate for a moment. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. And how is she supposed to explain that one to her family and friends? What are all the other girls in town supposed to say about what happened and now that she's with child? She doesn't care. She's not concerned with what other people think. She's not concerned with what other people want. She's concerned with what the Lord thinks and what the Lord wants, her will and God's will, in perfect parallel. That's what the word holy means. And then you take Christ our Lord, most mysterious of all. And how about this story for a mystery? The only story we know of all those years in which Jesus was quietly living in his home. He's 12 years old. And you know, every devout Jewish family went three times to Jerusalem. They made three trips. They went for the Feast of Booths, they went for the Feast of Pentecost, and they went for Passover. This was routine. They've done this a million times. Mary thought he was with Joseph, and Joseph thought he was with Mary. But this time, and God's full of surprises, you know the story. He stays behind in the temple. I had a friend who told me he lost his son in a park for 15 minutes. He says, it was the longest 15 minutes of my life. I can't imagine what it's like to lose a child for 3 days. You know the most amazing thing about this story? It's this detail that Jesus is in the temple with the elders. Now understand, these are the wisest, most learned people in the whole country. And he's sitting, teaching them. You know that sitting was the posture of a teacher. Look at the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord's most important teaching. The first thing he does, he sits down and he teaches them. 12-year-old kid teaching the elders and the most learned people in the country, right? It must have been absolutely astonishing. Then, you know, very reasonably, here's Mary, and she says, son, why have you done this? Can't you see your father and I have been worried sick about you? And listen to Jesus' answer. It's the first time Jesus ever speaks in the whole Bible, and he asks a question. Why were you looking for me? You know what's interesting about that question? It's the exact same question Jesus asks as soon as he rises from the dead on Easter Sunday. Mary Magdalene comes and he says, why are you looking for me? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? And you know what those two questions have in common? That the people who he was asking those questions of had yet appreciated the depth of who he was. He'd show us the depth of who he was on the cross. The fullness of what it means to be holy, obeying the Father, his will and God's will in perfect parallel, even to the point of death, and that is what holy means. It's hard to be a holy family these days, isn't it? Very hard. Very, very hard. Society we live in does not share our values, and half the members of your family do not share your values. And you want to throw up your arms. You say, well, what can I do about it? What can I do? I quit. You know what you can do about it? You can be faithful. That's what you can do about it. Not concerned with what somebody else wants or what society wants or what public opinion wants or what your friends want, but concerned with one thing, what God wants, your will and his will in perfect parallel. That's what holy means. I've said this before, your life is not about you. The saints are the ones who get that. Who get that and who act on it. The state of the family is not under your control. But you want to know what the good news is? There's one thing that is. Your response to God's grace. It's always there. And he invites. That is our invitation. And so let us radically surrender ourselves into God's hands and be about the Father's business. And if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.